Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Strange times this for TFC fans. The first time in I don't know how many years. It's probably only about 3 years, actually. The team looks half decent, doesn't it? Won 5 straight matches. Couple in the cup. Most recently last night, of course, in the Canadian Championship. John Molinaro, he joins me along with Jimmy Brennan. I'm James Sharman. All right. First of all, JMO, let's get to last night's game. As they mentioned post-match, it's always difficult, or they kind of hope it's going to be difficult, going to these away matches in the cup. Mm-hmm. And they expected a tough game. It was a relatively tough game, certainly for 45 minutes. But in the end, in what was, I thought, it seemed from where I was watching on my couch, a pretty good atmosphere, a bit of a lower division pitch, I think it's fair to say as well, but they got the job done. It was actually quite an enjoyable match to watch.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I mean, it was, I have to give credit to CS Saint Laurent. They didn't sort of sit back and sort of just defend in numbers or park the bus. I mean, they went after it, right? And they kind of showed some attacking intent going forward. I think obviously Toronto, it was a bit of a labored start from them, I would say. Although, I mean, they weren't terrible in that first half. I mean, they had chances that. And Osorio had a glorious chance to put, you know, the team up 1-0 in the 7th minute, but Saint Laurent made a goal line clearance. It wasn't a sparkling football from Toronto FC through the first 45 minutes. But then in the second half, I think, you know, their class and just sort of depth of talent just sort of, you know, kind of came through. And, you know, when they scored those 2 quick goals in quick succession, I don't think the result was ever in doubt. But still, credit to Saint Laurent because they continued to press forward and search for a consolation goal. So, yeah, it was an entertaining game. And, you know, talking to John Herdman after the match, he talked about it being like, sort of like a proper cup match, right? I mean, it had that sort of FA Cup sort of atmosphere of, you know, the Giant going down to like a minnow from one of the lower leagues. So it was great to see. And by all accounts, it looked like a great atmosphere and a great crowd in Montreal. So it was a pretty special night.
Yeah, it's never easy when you go to places like that, lower divisions, and you know, and all that you can ask for from the players is just a professional performance. And the second half, that's where the class started coming through. I thought they did have a professional performance, especially the second half. And then their fitness levels as well. They start coming through and you start taking advantage of the match with Langstaff scoring his goal. And then 9 minutes later, Kerr scores and then Bernadeschi 3-0. And that's one of those where it's a 90-minute match where you're just thinking, let's just get a couple of goals and get out of here as quick as we can. So they'll be delighted with that because you never want those kind of games to be your banana skins where you end up messing up and losing, especially when you're in an environment like that.
So how is this game different than last week's game against Simcoe? Well, you know, it's still a cup match. It's still tough. You know, all the things that John said post-match and pre-match could be held to the same with Simcoe. Only with Simcoe, the goal was to score 7 goals. I mean, was he aware that this team was so much better? Seeing that so much better than Simcoe?
Oh, yeah. He was fully aware. I mean, he talked about it all in the build-up to the match. And even after the game, I mean, he was quite complimentary of CS Saint-Laurent. You know, giving credit to them for the way that they played, and said, you know, he didn't give names, but he said there were 3 players in particular for Saint Laurent that he was quite impressed with. And he felt that he gave them a hard time. This was something that John talked about, you know, beforehand, right? Like when we spoke to him on, I think it was Monday before the game, he was expecting a tough time. He was expecting, you know, a different type of opponent in Saint Laurent compared to Simcoe. So I don't think he was terribly surprised at all by the way this game played out.
Do you think he was always going to bring on Bernadeschi at halftime, or was it because it was 0-0 that he was almost forced to?
No, I think he was going to bring him on. I mean, when we spoke to him on Monday, he didn't rule that out. He said it's likely that you're going to see Bernadeschi in this game. And when he said it, I thought, that's crazy. I mean, why would he bring him into this game? But the more I thought about it, the more it makes sense. I mean, we've kind of been, you know, what was one of the big sort of off-season discussions about this club was the buy-in and the commitment of the Italian sort of designated players. I don't think their commitment or engagement levels can be sort of questioned this year. I mean, they've shown that they've kind of turned over a new leaf and they've kind of fully bought into what John Herdman is selling. So, yeah, it makes, in that regard, I think it made total sense for him to come in because it was a cup game after all. You know, it was an important match and it was great to see him sort of come in against a lower division team like that and really sort of, you know, continue to show that commitment. And I thought that, you know, that free kick that he took was, you know, absolutely brilliant.
That was great.
Yeah. So again, that's what you want to see from him, right?
Yeah. But I think the game dictates to you as well what's going to happen. And I think if they were up 3-0, 4-0, I think you would have just said, Bernadeschi, you're going to take the night off tonight. We're going to rest you a little bit and get you ready for the next match. Because a lot of times when you're playing these lower league teams, the last thing you want to do is get players injured. And if they were up 3 or 4, I think you would have rested a couple of players or pulled some players off and then start planning for the weekend. But when it's 0-0, and you're thinking, we got 45 minutes to win this game, we got to make sure that we get the right result here. So bringing on Bernadeschi, yeah, it gives you that experience, but it's good that he did come on and showed his class. And it was a spectacular finish. It was great, wasn't it?
I forget the keeper's name, but I feel so bad for him, though, because he doesn't look good. He wasn't ready, was he? He was waiting for a whistle, I guess.
No, my favorite part was when he started yelling. And I'm like, who are you yelling at? It's your fault.
Probably the line. Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. But regardless, you got to place it in from there, right? And it ain't that easy. I mean, you think that a guy of Bernadeschi's skill set would do it most times, but still, it was pretty cheeky, wasn't it? I really enjoyed that, I have to say. All right, so our portion of three questions here. The questions would be 5 straight wins, but do the opponents actually matter? Manny Longstaff with 2 games, 2 goals. Is he key now to the team's future? And also want to get to what happened to Ayo Akinola, who got released this past week, Jamie. But to start with, the 5 straight wins. You know, when this session of the season began, we all knew that they weren't playing the top of MLS and certainly obviously within the Canadian Championship. But you can only play the teams in front of you, as they say. Given what this team's come from, the start, the dip, and now the peak again, surely it's irrelevant who they're playing. 5 straight wins is 5 straight wins.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it at the greater context, right? I mean, you know, as you said, James, you have to look at where this team is coming from, right? I mean, last year was, you know, an absolute disaster of a campaign. I mean, the worst in franchise history with only 4 wins and 22 points. So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, beating maybe on the surface of it, beating teams the caliber of Simcoe and Saint Laurent And even FC Dallas isn't all that impressive. But, I mean, this is a team that's sort of desperate to turn things around after, you know, the fire show that was last year. So I don't think it particularly matters. You know, at some point they're going to have to be, you know, they're going to be facing stiffer competition, right? I mean, I think, you know, they've got tricky road trips this coming month to Nashville and Philadelphia. And I think those are going to be like really tough tests. And obviously during the summer, they're going to have to combine MLS commitments with League's Cup. And there's the semifinals of the Canadian Championship. So it's going to get, I don't think there's any question that things are, you know, opponent wise, things are going to get tougher for the Reds. But right now, I don't think you can find too much fault, you know, with the way they're playing and the results, because again, just from where they're coming from last year.
I think it helps with confidence as well, doesn't it? You know, they had that spell against Vancouver and Sporting KC and Charlotte, where they did lose to those teams. But then, you know, they went on this run of five games, regardless of who you're playing. You know, they've kept three clean sheets. They're scoring goals, and this confidence builder as well. And it's pushed them up the table, sitting in third place right now. Okay, yeah, you played lower teams, but you still got to beat them. And they've done that, and they've gone out there and showed some good quality. And I think there's a lot of positives that you can take away from these last five matches. Yeah, it will get difficult for them, for sure it will. But I think this is going to be this will help the confidence and mentality for sure.
Most clean sheets of any team so far in the league as well. And we were talking to Andrew Wiebe on MLS Box to Box earlier about what's most impressive about TFC this year, and he mentioned it's the defense. If you compare to what happened last year, right? I mean, it was a mess everywhere. We understand that. But defensively, they were atrocious. And yes, there's been a couple of new faces brought in, but if you look at one thing that John Herdman can hang his hat on so far, the most impressive part of this season and the evolution of this squad preps, is it defense, do you think, Jamo?
I think so. I mean, I think there's been a marked improvement in, you know, the way that this team is defended. And it's not just sort of the back three, although, you know, the addition of someone like Kevin Long and Nixon Gomez have been, I think, helped them sort of be more defensively solid. But I think just overall, in terms of team defending, they're a lot better. I mean, I think the addition of Debbie Flores has been absolutely crucial. Mm-hmm. He plays such a dynamic role in that central, you know, midfield of, you know, kind of acting as like the first line of defense and, you know, really kind of going out his way to, you know, break up plays and snuff out danger before it started. So I think he's been a key to the team's improved defensive play. And look, I mean, I don't think there's any question. Like, as again, the team was a disaster last year in so many aspects, particularly in defense. I mean, I think they conceded, you know, 59 goals, 57, which was like the second worst defensive record in the league. And now, you know, they already have five clean sheets through their first 11 games in MLS. Yeah. They only had six clean sheets all of last year. So it's hard to look past, you know, the quality of their defending in terms of, you know, why the sort of mini turnaround that they've, you know, enjoyed so far.
Yeah. I mean, look, they had that little spell against Kansas and Vancouver and Charlotte where they conceded 10 goals. And you thought, oh my God, here we go. We're going back again. But, you know, they have picked it up. They have looked solid over the last five games. And again, you know, the more clean sheets that you can get and good performances and wins, it just builds the confidence, especially with that back line.
Hey, Jimmy, you played in a number of years in teams that played with the back three. You played as a wing back. You played centrally as well. In those formations, like, what is the most important position? Is it that deep line middle central midfielder?
Yeah, of course. He's the center midfielder that sits in front of that back three. Yeah, of course. He plays a huge, huge role because if center defenders end up getting pulled out of position, they're the ones that drop in to help out. So their positional sense and awareness has got to be spot on, especially when you're playing with a back three.
Because, Jamie, you mentioned Debbie Flores, and I mean, he's probably been the signing of the season so far, has he not? I mean, Kevin Long was, like you said, a good signing as well. But I'm looking at this team and the squad right now and who's playing the most important role. And I think he is, in many ways, he's been the central figure to turning it around.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for Flores and Long being 1A and 1B in terms of, you know, the biggest offseason signings. I mean, Nixon Gomez has done well as well. But I think for me, it's either Long or Flores. They've just been really instrumental and key figures in, you know, bringing that defensive solidity to the team that it badly needed after a disastrous 2023 campaign.
Now, Matty Long. So, Jimmy, go ahead.
I like Flores. You know, we saw in a couple of games where he did make a couple of silly mistakes, yeah. But he seems like the player as well that learns from those mistakes. And he'll hold his hand up and say, yeah, I've made that mistake. It's not going to happen again. And he just keeps building. And I like the way that he plays. I like his energy. I like how he reads the match as well. And he's a good presence in the middle. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think he's been a terrific signing. And I think he's only going to get better.
And they were kind of missing that type of player profile last year. Yes. I thought, he's kind of like, not to put too fine of a point on it, but he's a physical type player, right? I mean, he's no shrinking violet. I mean, he'll get stuck into tackles and kind of go after players. So I think they were kind of missing a little bit of that. They're that little bit of bite and a little bit of steel, and he's provided it. So I think he's been a fantastic signing.
Yeah.
Also midfield, Manny Longstaff arrives. Took him a while to find his feet, and John even alluded to that earlier this season, finding the system, and he's coming off a very serious knee injury as well. But he's scored now in back-to-back games, J-Mo. Is he key, do you think, to this team moving forward?
I don't know that he's key. I have to admit, I mean, the first sort of few games that he played, I didn't quite sort of see it or understand. But you have to keep in mind that he's coming off a lengthy sort of injury layoff. Adapting to MLS for foreign players isn't always straightforward because there's, the travel is much more intense. There's playing on different services. There's different sort of, things you have to sort of, adapt to. And I was just kind of underwhelmed. The last two or three games, I've been much more impressed. I think he's, offered TFC a really solid two-way presence on both sides of the ball. Is he key? I think he's an important piece going forward. I don't know that he's absolutely sort of essential. I think there's other options in midfield that John might turn to. I mean, I've been really impressed with Derek Etienne since he's come, in the trade with Atlanta. And I can kind of see him getting that sort of regular spot in midfield, even though he's a winger by trade. I mean, he can play more centrally. And so I can see him, maybe being ahead of Matty Longstaff in the depth chart. But we'll see how things plan out.
But that's interesting, Jimmy. Etienne arrives with years of MLS experience, knows the league, back of his hand. Longstaff arrives, obviously coming from English football, doesn't know anything about MLS. As the summer approaches and the rumors heat up, for a team like TFC, should they be targeting players with MLS experience, players that won't need bedding in time as much? Or is he just go for the quality, wherever that comes from?
I think you got to go with the quality. Yeah, it does help when you get a player that's used to MLS and is played in the league for a number of years, because they get used to the travel, they get used to the rigors of the league. Where, Matty Longstaff coming from England, he's on a bus ride, a few hours here and there, and it's, play the match and away you go home. Where it's now all of a sudden he's on a plane flying 5 hours, 3 hour time zones, and it takes a little bit of time to settle down. It always does for international players coming over, but I think you've got to go for the quality, and you've got to look at the individual and hoping that he can adapt to the rigors of MLS over here, because there's so many tangibles when you look. I mean, you're down in Houston, you're playing in humidity, you're in Salt Lake playing in altitude, you're playing out in California and the heat, and Miami again, humid. There's so many variables that it does take a little bit of time to adapt to. That's 100%, because even when I was playing at Toronto FC, it took me time to adapt to it. It took players that were coming over time as well. They couldn't believe, how difficult it was. But eventually, if you get a player that can settle down and is willing to get through it and fight through it, I think they'll be an asset for the club. But it's just finding those right players. And I think you do need the quality 100%.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
J-Bo, is it me or is the TFC rumor mill never been so quiet? I mean, usually they're linked with someone, somewhere. I'm seeing all these stories popping up with these names from overseas and who they're being linked with. No mention of TFC. Do you think that is... there's something going on that we don't know of? Or is it just very much like, let's see what we've got with this team? It's very much of a slower build than perhaps previous years.
I think it's a little bit of that, James. And I think it's a little bit of, you know, they don't have a great deal of money to spend just in terms of salary cap space and in terms of, you know, resources from MLSE. I mean, from sources that I've talked to, there isn't a great sort of appetite for the board to kind of give them a lot more money to sort of spend their way out of this trouble. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, seeing what they got. And, you know, if they are going to make moves, it'll be done, you know, within MLS, whether that's trades or loans or whatnot, and something that's not going to sort of moves that are going to be cost sort of, you know, effective, as opposed to going out and, you know, splashing money on a big, big signing via transfer.
Insigne back in training as well, right? So he's around the corner, a return.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if he sees some minutes this weekend. I mean, John sort of talked about it, you know, earlier this week and last week. He's been in full training the last 2 weeks. He effectively ruled him out for Wednesday, which made sense. But wouldn't be surprised if he sees a couple minutes off the bench on Saturday against New York.
All right. Well, they are freeing out some money. Ayo Akinola was released this past week mutually. You feel bad for him, I think, don't you, J-Mo? Given he had the injury, the bad injury, never rebounded from it. Because at one point, he was highly touted, not just for TFC, but for Canada as well. Mm-hmm. What happened to Ayo Akinola?
The injury. I mean, I just don't think he ever fully recovered from that. And, you know, when he broke onto the scene in 2020, you know, during the sort of the pandemic that season, I mean, he was, you know, a really lights-out player for TFC. He led the team in scoring. Was a big reason why they sort of challenged for the supporters' shield. You know, and he was considered at the time one of the brightest prospects in the league. And then, you know, the following summer while on duty for Canada, he suffers an ACL injury and he was out until essentially the following spring and just never was able to recover, you know, the player that he once was. I mean, the old form sort of disappeared. And I don't know if it was a psychological thing. Maybe that had effects on it too, but it just seemed like there was a lack of confidence in him. And, you know, again, he just wasn't the same player that he was. I mean, sometimes it's difficult. I mean, Jimmy can certainly speak to this more than I can, but it's difficult when you're out that long with such a serious injury to come back. And I think for him, being such a young player at the time, it was probably took its toll more mentally on him as well.
No, you're absolutely right. It does. I mean, big injuries affect players differently. I mean, I the only thing that I could relate to was I remember I was at Norwich City. I pulled my hip flexor. I was out for 4.5 months. That whole season, I was chasing. I was chasing my fitness levels. I couldn't get back into the rhythm. And I found it difficult because you do feel like you're kind of getting left aside because as a team's in the middle of the season and, you know, they're playing week in and week out and you're trying to get your fitness levels back and your confidence back, but then you're still worried in the back of your mind. You're still thinking about your injury. If you push yourself too hard, am I going to pull this again and be out even longer? So, you know, mentally it does affect you. And it's a horrible thing when it does happen, but, it's always a difficult situation for players when they're trying to come back from a bad injury.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, in Ayo's defense, I don't think it was a lack of trying or work ethic on his part, right? I mean, he worked hard. I mean, John even mentioned during preseason that he felt Ayo was in the best shape that he'd ever seen him. And you know, his attitude, too, was, you know, there was a great deal of self-awareness to him, Ayo. I mean, I can tell you that, like, I spoke to him in February where the team was down in training camp in Florida. And I asked him about, you know, the last couple seasons because, you know, let's be honest, they hadn't gone well. And he didn't sort of flinch. I mean, he said quite candidly, and I'll read you the quote here. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. The last 2 or 3 years were really poor for me. Really, really poor. I'm just being honest. Just me being transparent with you. The last 2 or 3 years have not gone well for me. It's on my part. It's self-inflicted. It's on me. You know, pretty honest. I mean, pretty, you know, brutally honest about things. And, you know, he felt that he had a point to prove this year. So, you know, you got to give him credit for not sort of, you know, being self-delusional about it. And you couldn't sort of question his work rate because he did try and work hard.
He's also physically a big guy,
very big.
Right? He falls into that Jose Altidore kind of frame, doesn't he? And Jose struggled through injuries, of course, for much of his career. Great career in MLS, no doubt. But Jimmy, I mean, is it more difficult for the guys who are built that way to bounce back from that kind of injury?
Yeah, sometimes it is. I mean, everybody's built differently. You know, you get kind of those thinner, leaner guys that tend to get through an injury a lot quicker. And, you know, sometimes the bigger guys, you know, when you're out for so long, you tend to put on a little bit more weight than others. So, it's, you know, everybody's built completely different. And, you know, some guys, it takes a little bit longer to come back than what it does others. But, yeah, he was a big guy, you know, thick player, but, Europe, I mean, look, preseason, he was ready. And like John said, he was fit as he's ever been. But maybe just mentally, he couldn't fight through it.
I tend to think that maybe the issue with him was just the age, right? Because, I mean, had he been like a little bit older, like say he was like 28 or 29, he had a little bit more experience under his belt, you know, it probably would have been easier to come back from the injury. But because he was so young, I mean, he was, what, 21, 22 when it happened? It was kind of his first major injury. So it wouldn't have been, you know, you couldn't have faulted him for like thinking, you know, hey, you know, what's going on? Like my career is kind of derailed here. And he didn't have that sort of experience. And, you know, it probably did adversely affect him more, you know, as a youngster, as opposed to someone who had a little bit more, you know, games under his belt.
It's a shame. Yeah, it really is. And for a team that needs cap space as well, you see why they did this and didn't have perhaps more patience with him. Yeah. But it can be a ruthless sport sometimes. We know that. You hope he bounces back somewhere, either within MLS or maybe with CPL. There's got to be, I think, at his age, he's not an old player by any stretch. No. He's got a lot of football in him still. He can bounce back, right? I don't think it's the end of the road for Ayo Akinola.
No,
I do wonder if a CPL... Wouldn't a CPL team jump at the chance to sign a player like him, Jimmy?
Of course they would. I think any CPL team would love to get a player like that. And, you know, maybe sometimes you got to take a step back to take two forward. So,
right.
You know, maybe that's the place where he's got to go. Maybe go into the CPL and start banging in goals, get your confidence back and make that jump back up again. So, yeah, there's you just hope that he just doesn't give up and walk away from the game, because he is a great guy. He's got so much potential. It's hard to see that sometimes when a player gets let go.
Maybe getting out of the Toronto bubble would do him some good as well, right? I mean, because he was a TFC2 Academy guy, spent time with TFC2, and then obviously went to the senior team. And, you know, maybe it's just he just has to get out of town in a completely new surrounding. So, you know, somewhere else in Canada, whether it's say Halifax or, you know, Pacific or Valor, I don't know. But maybe that'll do him some good as well.
Yeah, but you know someone's going to jump at him, even maybe within MLS too, because we've seen what he can do. We've seen the potential. Every team has a project, right? They can be the team to turn this player around. So fingers crossed it happens for Akinola. J-Mo, New York City FC this weekend. What can we expect at tfcrepublic.ca?
Yeah, so we'll have kind of full in-depth preview coverage and post-game coverage of that game. I actually spoke to Andrew Lee, who's sort of a writer down in who covers for New York City FC. So talked to him about the game just to get, you know, the other side, New York's sort of view on things and how they look coming in this match. So we'll
not
have
great, that. Right?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Are they 11th right now on the table?
Yeah, I think they're like four. They're seventh, I think.
Are they seventh, are they? Okay.
Might be seventh. Nah, I can't remember.
Whatever. Read the article that you wrote.
Yeah. I mean, they are coming off a 2-0 loss at home to Colorado. So, I mean, they do have a little bit of a point to prove. And they did beat Toronto earlier this year at Yankee Stadium. So it'll be, I think it'll be an interesting, you know, battle on Sunday, Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. Yep. Okay, well, look forward to that. Fellas, thank you very much. We have three questions, Montreal and Vancouver, out there right now. And as I mentioned, we spoke to Andrew Wiebe of Apple Plus MLS Season Pass on Box to Box earlier today as well. So lots of MLS content getting you set for what should be another exciting weekend. So until next week, cheers very much for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Beauty. That's great. Thanks, J-Mo.
Guys. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.